Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Bow together in a word of prayer. Eternal, our gracious and our loving Father in heaven, we come before thee in Jesus' holy and worthy name. We give thee thanks that we're able to approach unto the throne of grace. We do so with confidence and boldness and assurance because we come in that worthy and peerless name of thine own Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the mercy of God that finds us at this time met together in the things of God. And we ask of thee that as we look into the scriptures, as we sing the hymns of Zion and praise thy great and thy holy name, that thou wilt be amongst us. We pray, O God, that we might have a sense of thy presence, that the Lord will come and visit each of our hearts, and may we hear the speaking voice of God Almighty, and know and enjoy the blessing and the richness of thy grace. And as we come a little later to the preaching of thy word, we pray that thou wilt bless thy servant, Mr. Anderson. May he be greatly helped of God in the ministry of that word. May he know assistance, the assistance of God the Holy Ghost, and the help that only the Lord can give. And we pray that our brother might have the Lord's message for our hearts, and be the Lord's messenger in that message. And so we commit this time together to the Lord and to thy grace. And we ask that thou wilt be amongst us and one of our number. And may we know the Lord standing in our midst, ministering unto our hearts. We ask these, our prayers and our petitions, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3. We're going to begin our reading at the verse number 1, and we'll read together the first 13 verses. Genesis, chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for Christ our Savior's sake. We're now going to sing the words of the hymn, Life at Best is Very Brief.
Thank Mr. Armstrong for leading the meeting thus far tonight. We're going to turn back just to that passage of Scripture in Genesis 3 that was read together already this evening. It is to verse 9 I want to turn your attention to for a few moments. Verse 9, and to that question which is found at the closing part of the verse. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And you know, the scene is set before us here today in the Garden of Eden. This particular passage is well known to us. It's speaking to us of the fall of man. And it is here that the greatest act of treason was committed by man against his Creator, God. And his fellowship, his relationship was marred with his Creator on that day. And you know, it is of utmost importance that we understand our condition that we are in today is because of what happened way back there in Eden. Sickness, sorrow, and death, and all these things that we face today is as a result of what happened way back in Eden all those years ago. In the opening two chapters of Genesis, we learn of the creation of heaven and the earth, the Garden of Eden, the creation of all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air. We learn of the creation of man, made in the image of God. We learn how God, the Creator, caused man to fall into that deep sleep. And he removed that rib from his side and made a woman. And God then became that wonderful giver that gave woman to man. And the preacher who said, What I have put together, let no man pull asunder. It was the establishment of the institution of marriage, right back there at the beginning. And after this, he tells man and woman to be fruitful and to multiply. The world was paradise. Everything in at that time was perfect. In the first two chapters here that we read of in Genesis, in this book of beginnings. However, when we arrive then at chapter 3, we encounter the tempter, the devil, the serpent, the enemy of God, who is walking about as that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we come face to face then with the devastation he brings as a result of the fall of man. We see and we hear and we feel the heartbreak of God, as it were, witness and witness his love, his grace, and his mercy. Here in this verse 9, And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? This important question asked by God is regard to Adam's condition, not his position. It is important that we note today, right from the outset, that God knew exactly where Adam was, both positionally and conditionally. He is omniscient after all. He's all-knowing. He reigns, he rules over us with that all-seeing eye. And when we read this question, it appears that God is just speaking to Adam prophetically. He's speaking to you and me also. He's speaking to all mankind, to the entire human race. We read of this in Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man, namely Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, you and me, for all that all have sinned. And therefore, as Adam was our representative, this question comes tonight to both you and me. Where art thou? It is a question that is endless in its meaning. As we contemplate this question, I want you to see, first of all, with me, God speaks with a stirring voice. God's voice was familiar to Adam. You can see that as you read through this chapter 3. He was familiar to Adam and Eve. He had been in continual communion with them. Yet we read in verse 8, on this occasion, when they heard the speaking voice of God, what did they do? They hid. Their eyes had been opened. Verse 7. The question is asked of them, Where art thou? With that stirring voice, God seeks to awaken their consciousness to the state of their condition. It is a wake-up call. And tell me today, perhaps that's what you need. Maybe it's a wake-up call is what's required in your life. This is a wake-up call to Adam. Where art thou? God asks this question with a stirring voice to awaken man's conscience. Man was naked. He was no longer covered with the Shekinah glory. He now had that spirit of fear governing him. Instead of that voice of God, that communion with God. In verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. Some would have you believe you can get saved when you want to get saved. You can get saved, just say a wee prayer, commit your life to God. But dear soul, Christ reminds us that no man can come to the Father, come to him except the Father who has sent me draw him and will raise him up in the last day. the speaking voice of God. It brings fear, it brings dread to the heart of the sinner. And Adam is now in sin, and as such would receive the wrath of God. He is no longer good, but sin, it dwells within him. His will is to perform that which is evil. God seeks to awaken man's consciences to the state of their condition, to convince, to convict them of their sin, and to lead them to the confession of it. But sadly, what happens whenever he speaks to Adam, there in verse 11, Adam doesn't confess. Rather, he blames Eve, and in doing so, what does he do? He blames God. And when God called on to Adam and to mankind, he said, "Where art thou?" He comforted them, letting them know that this was not the wrath of God, but this was the love of God shown to them. This question opened up, as it were, the wounds of Adam, that broken relationship, convincing him that he was lost. This conviction of sin, it's a supernatural work of the Spirit of God. It's more than just feeling bad. It's more than just a preacher laying it on, as it were, hot and heavy. Surely it's the desire of this preacher today that you would take heed to the question which is laid before you here in this chapter 3 of Genesis tonight. But nonetheless, we must concede man cannot cause an anxious thought. It's the working of the Spirit. Conviction of sin is a work of God upon the heart of man. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And God questioned Adam with that stirring voice, "Where art thou?" causing him to think on what he had done, the condition he was now found, causing him to understand the dishonor that he had committed in the face of a holy God, exposing him, his soul, to the very wrath of God. Tell me today, is God speaking to you with that stirring voice? Is he awakening you of your need of him, convincing and convicting you of your sin? Where art thou? God speaks with a stirring voice. He also speaks with a sorrowing voice. The language used in this text all points to the sorrow and the heartbreak of God for Adam. Where art thou? Adam, what have you done? The fellowship was fragrant. They talked together. They walked together in the garden in the cool of the day. How sweet was the fellowship? And sadly, they had been deceived by the devil, embarked upon evil, sinned and ate the forbidden fruit, the outworkings of that sin. And now they were exposed. They were naked and poor and most miserable. Look with me at the first question, which is asked here in verse 1 of this chapter 3, which is asked of the devil to Eve. And what is it? Why is it asked? It's asked to cast doubt upon God's word. Hath God said? The devil then distorts the word of God by saying, "You can't eat of every tree." He then goes further to deny the very word of God. "Ye shall not die." And ultimately then succeeds in the deception. Verse 5, "Ye shall be as gods." Adam and Eve, remember, folks were in paradise, dwelling in the presence of God, but yet they were found entertaining evil. And you know, perhaps you're here tonight, the presence of God, and yet you're entertaining evil. You know, you don't need to confess it to me. The devil promises you the world, yet in reality, he's carrying you along to your conclusion. And you know, we need to be under no illusion. The devil promises to fulfill our carnal desires while he cunningly leads us along to destruction. God calls out to you today with that sorrowing voice. He says, "Where art thou? What condition are you found?" God calls out to you today with that sorrowing voice. Oh, Adam was made in the image of God, and yet he sinned against God, his creator. Yet it is breathtaking to think how that the Lord spoke to Adam with that sorrowing voice he felt for Adam. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to know we have a Savior feels for us. 2 Peter 3 and 9 reveals us, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have a God who feels sorrow for the sins of his people. And you know, sinner friend, today, as God looks upon you, he's sorrowful over your sinful ways, your sinful choices, your open rebellion. Christ weeps over you as he mourned over Jerusalem There in Matthew's Gospel 23 and 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Will you not come to Christ this day, confessing the words of the prodigal, Father, I have sinned. Sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You remember that account, what happened. Oh, how he was welcomed home. He was welcomed home back into the Father's house. And friend, I say to you, if you think tonight it can't happen for you, well, I remind you of the words of John Bunyan, let not Satan deceive thee by telling you that God is hard, unkind, unwilling to forgive, but rather try him. Try him just as you are, black, filthy, self-condemned, and if thou needest anything to make thee try him, hear him again, the Lord's sorrowing cry, there as it rings through the trees there in Eden. Adam, poor Adam, my creature, where art thou? Where art thou? God speaks with a stirring voice, speaks with a sorrowing voice. He speaks also with a searching voice. He speaks with that searching voice. You see, God had not changed. God hadn't changed. He still had that love and that concern for Adam. There was hurt, there was an offense there for what he had done, yet the offer of forgiveness is still seen. God desired that he would return home. Oh, yes, he was lost. Perhaps you realize you're lost today, and God calls you with that searching voice. He says, where art thou? Where art thou? He's seeking to lead you back, leading you back into fellowship with him. And think of the old lighthouse, how it reveals even to the shipping the way around all the hazards that lie beneath in the sea, to guide the path that leads them safely to their destination. And so it is with the Savior. He seeks to guide his people out of nature's darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. He reminds us today, as he questions you even with that searching voice, to look no further. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where art thou? Oh, this question, it pierced the heart of Adam like a spear, causing him to stop and think. There was self-examination needed. What have I become? What have I become? Adam realized everything he had, everything he ever needed was found alone, had been provided alone by God. He was in a relationship with God. He had talked with God. He had communed with him in the garden, and yet now he's found ashamed. Ashamed and afraid. Lost. Yet we see God cry out unto him with that searching voice, where art thou? You know, God is still asking that question today to you and me, where art thou? He reminds us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God gave you everything ever you needed. He gave you health and strength. He has given his only begotten Son to die for you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. His precious blood was shed on Calvary's tree for sinners such as you and me. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Tell me tonight, where art thou? God speaks with a stirring voice, a sorrowing voice, a searching voice, but he speaks also with a summoning voice. The question is posed by God with a summoning voice. Why? Because this question, it demands an answer. Perhaps you've received a jury summons. And if so, you'll be aware that it usually concludes with a word such as failure to report for jury duty is a violation of the law and is punishable by a fine, or you may be held in contempt of court. Or maybe worse still, you've been summoned to attend court for a crime which you have committed. I have been reliably informed that such a letter concludes with the words, failure to attend may result in your arrest. You see, men and women, today, the key point is this: a summons must be responded to. You cannot ignore a summons. Adam sought to flee from God, yet God calls him out, as he does today to you. Where art thou?
God called you to account. He is holy, righteous, and just, and therefore he must judge sin. Sin cannot go unpunished. The sorrow and suffering spoken of there in verses 16 through to 19 reveals to us God's judgment upon sin presently in this world. Death comes to us all, as we highlighted even in our introductory remarks, as a result of the fall there in verse 19 of chapter 3. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Oh, man seeks to return himself to the perfection of Eden. He thinks he can save himself, but he can't. God speaks with that summoning voice. How will you respond? How will you respond to him? Will you flee to him today? Flee to Christ, seek him for mercy, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Tell me, where art thou? God speaks with a stirring voice, a sorrowing voice, a searching voice, a summoning voice. He asks this question today. He says, where art thou? It's a personal, it's an individual question. And friend, today, if you have no excuse, if you die in your sinful condition, you will go to hell, and that for all eternity. You cannot blame the preacher. You cannot blame God. Why? Because God is tenderly asking you right now, where art thou? Where art thou? Therefore, if you die today and go out into a lost eternity, you will do so without excuse. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank thee for this word, this challenge to our hearts tonight, this searching question, this question that comes to us all. Where art thou? May each one of us this day examine ourselves in the light of God's word. May we know what it is to be truly saved, to be resting alone on Christ unto salvation. May we know what it is to have that assurance within our heart that when we leave this scene of time, that it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. For in Christ's name, we'd humbly ask these things, and for our Saviour's eternal praise. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.